You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, Teddy Lee Knox. Hello, Teddy.
Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. We're talking about a hot topic today.
Yes.
Something near and dear to both of our hearts. Back to school and scoring shelf space during back to school shopping season.
Scoring shelf space.
Scoring shelf space.
Couldn't have said it better.
We're in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Back to school for us, mid-August.
Correct.
School ends around Memorial Day. I don't know about you. I start thinking about around July 4th.
Back to school?
Yeah.
I start thinking about it in May when I have to pay for latchkey and get my kids' school supplies and all of that.
All right.
It never stops, I feel like.
Yeah. It's kind of an ongoing topic for sure. Really, it's more like the kind of end July, those first.
Yes.
Because it's 2 weeks into August, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you want to make sure that you're squared away right at the beginning, because it gets, it comes fast and the calendar fills up, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. And I think it's interesting when you think about the going back to school, because all the transitions you go through so quickly, school ends and you have to shift to keeping everybody happy and busy and detoxed from the end of school where all they do is play, going into summer and prepping for that. And then the switch again, midsummer when everyone gets bored, then back to school.
Get ready.
Yes. And there's a lot that goes into it.
Getting back on a schedule.
Yes.
All sorts of activities.
Yep.
We have daughters. For those who don't know, I think we talked about it before. You've got three daughters. I've got two. It's exciting stuff. But we're going to talk about stats on consumer spending,
mm-hmm.
some gross profit opportunity for CPG brands, and how to use logistics strategically. How about this stat? Diving right in from Wunderkind. And this is going to be in our show notes.
Yep.
Wunderkind. I think that's how you say it. I don't know. It could be Wunderkind. I don't know. But either way, $35 billion of back-to-school shopping in 2024.
Yeah.
But there's a note. 29% of U.S. consumers expect to spend less this back-to-school season due to tariffs or inflation. Your thoughts on that?
Well,
no chance.
Yeah, as we were prepping for this, I said lies, because we are panic consumer buyers. That's what we do. And when you have to pack back to school lunches, I mean, I'm now going into where all my kids will be in elementary school.
Yeah.
I only have one pickup and one drop off. It's going to be amazing.
That's exciting.
But I'm also going to have the option to buy school lunches at school, which daycare, I didn't have that option. Mm-hmm. Most daycares don't have that option. And for working parents, you have to pack breakfast, lunch, snacks. It's a lot, and you have to have it ready to go very easily and quickly.
Yep.
And when that happens, if something in the shelf space looks a little bare, people start to panic and they're going to buy more. When you find out that something's going to increase, you panic a little bit and you buy more. Anyone with kids probably understands picky eating. If they like something, you want to make sure you have it just so they can eat.
Yeah.
And I think when you're prepping for back to school, it's busy, it's stressful. You need to have those things ready to go. You need to be able to have the grab and go lunches and snacks, and you know, sports also start with back to school.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to have all those things ready to go when you pick them up and go to the various activities they have to go to. So
get it on the shelf, people.
I think it's going to be the same, if not more. I don't think everyone's going to have the ability at back to school to be as frugal as they expect to be.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be an interesting how it plays out, you know, economically. For those who don't know, there's been some instability as far as the tariff strategy. You know, we're right in the middle of it right now. But as this podcast is going to open up or come out onto the airwaves, who knows what will be happening? We could be feeling the effects of inflation or the tariff environment over the last few months, or it could be relatively stabilized. So fingers crossed. I would assume that sentiment from our friends at Wunderkind is more in line with, like, people are probably going to try and budget more aggressively because they assume that prices are going to be higher.
Yeah.
That's my assumption. But anyways.
So I tried growing a lot of my own vegetables.
It's tough.
Deer keep eating them.
Oh.
Rabbits keep having babies in them. Like, I can't use any of these things now. And so now I bought all these plants and I can't use them. So I still have to go out and buy my own peppers and tomatoes because I'm now feeding the Dublin wildlife.
Okay.
So that's also very frustrating.
Do you have a fence?
No, we're not allowed to have a fence in Dublin.
Okay.
And if the, like those a, that do, the deer still jump them.
Do you have like a fake greenhouse or like a portable greenhouse?
No.
Okay.
I put chicken wire.
Yeah.
Around it.
And they just trample it?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And they get over it. So, but well, so that's again what I'm
those
thinking.
Suburban deer are a little aggressive.
They are.
They really are. Listen, they're all around my neighborhood. I saw one. It's been so hot here. Listen, just sitting in someone's yard in the shade. Just like staring at me as I drove by.
What?
Like it was.
This is my house.
Like
now.
It was. Right. You might have been sitting in the sprinkler.
Get out of my
putting
yard.
Putting on his bathing suit and running through the sprinklers. It's wild.
But that's why I think that consumer spending is going to be up based off my own experiences, because everything that I've tried to be a little bit more frugal, make things easier, continues to backfire.
Yeah. It takes a lot of effort. That's for sure. And I think it takes a lot of effort for our brands to get on the shelf.
Yeah.
And when they're talking about frugality, I think that's a word.
I like it.
So we're going to talk about kind of gross profit, right? They want to maximize, these brands want to maximize their margins.
Yeah.
This is, some people might go to sleep during this conversation, but it is really important. So essentially the difference, we've talked about it before, but MABD, on time and full, these percentages, right? Most of the retailers that we deal with have some sort of expectations or a scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't meet those expectations, there's a fine.
Yes.
What they don't consider is that there are lost revenues if your product's not on the shelf as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those two combined, right, the difference between a 95% on-time delivery performance, your product is on the shelf, and a 77% on-time delivery performance, which is about industry average, maybe slightly less. Ziplines is around 95%. Is about $800,000 in profit for a $10 million company, okay? 45% gross margin, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We're talking leaving hard dollars on the table.
Yeah.
You know, kind of reflecting, circling back on the frugality element of it, is in an effort to cut costs, and we're looking at, we've talked about it all the time, like a $1,200 lane versus a $1,150 lane. You're trying to save $50 on a shipment that contains $75,000, $100,000 worth of product.
Mm-hmm.
And that ends up costing you $5,000 plus on fines because you didn't deliver it on time, because the difference between that $1,150 and $1,200 truck,
mm-hmm,
is going from a generalized 3PL to a specialist 3PL like Zipline Logistics.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nuance. Again, we've talked about this in the retailer expectations, the preferred carriers that deliver into those facilities, the dock doors to check in, the hours on the weekend. Can you notify them if you're running a little bit behind and get worked in?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of these elements that come into play. And if you're working with someone who does not have that experience, who's generally cheaper, you're going to end up paying for it on the back end.
Yes. And I think going into that nuance that you're talking about, like the fines, you also need someone that understands the fines, because the fines are not just, oh, you arrived late. The fines can also be something as, I don't know, obscure as the pallet was broken. Not the product. The product is fine.
Right, right.
But the stringer pallet that you put it on was dinged by the shipper or receiver, or maybe in transit with LTL. And you now have a fine on top of it, and then you have to go through and be able to figure out what that fine was 3 months after the fact that the shipment delivered. So if you don't have someone actually double-checking the bills before they send them to you, the PO kind of helping with those things to make sure, because they understand how important those fines are, then you just have way, way more issues, way more lost revenue, and then you're fighting costs even further and just kind of going through the same cycle. So I think it is really important to make sure that you are thinking of logistics as an investment, because that is what it is. You want things to get there on time, and you want things to get there in full, and the integrity of your product to be good. And I think just thinking about the rate in the truck is not enough anymore.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, people are buying more quickly, getting things when they need them, because they are concerned about tariffs, about, you know, issues with other retailers possibly closing down. We've talked about that in other podcasts, you know, not having enough space to accept things when you want it. That impacts your shelf space. And so if you are not making sure that you're doing this the right way, you're not going to have things there. And then you're not going to have the inventory to fulfill those orders. And it's going to just cause so many problems.
That's a great recap. You hit the nail on the head, right? We've said it before, a rate in a truck. If that's your logistics plan, you're behind mm-hmm. as a CPG buyer, right?
Yeah.
Like, you need to find folks. I mean, obviously, it's our podcast, so we're talking about it. We are specialists. We've got the people who are trained in those retailers,
mm-hmm.
right? We have technology, our Canopy proprietary intelligence software that is designed to help you maximize the efficiency of your logistics operation,
yeah.
right? So we've talked about it before. Hey, instead of just, you know, finding that cheaper rate to only be a rate in a truck, now you've leveraged a partner mm-hmm. who's going to consolidate, look at your warehouses. Hey, these two can ship together and we're going to save you some money and improve your on-time delivery performance and get your product on the shelf.
Yeah.
So that goes a long way. And that's, again, we've talked about it. We have weekly meetings with some folks. We have daily meetings with some folks, monthly, quarterly, et cetera. Like yeah. we can tailor that to however the customer wants to be engaged, or we can just handle it all. But the most important thing that we've mentioned, and we're going to dive into something that I think you've coined, is getting your product onto the shelf. And one of those impacts, if it's not on the shelf, is what we call involuntary sampling. Walk me through involuntary sampling real quick.
So I got to give full credit. Emily Kitko was the one that coined that in our marketing department. So yeah. shout out to Kitko. Thanks
shout out
for
Kitko.
That. So involuntary sampling is for people like me who like to do the pickups instead of going into the grocery stores. If it is not, the product is not there, they will substitute. You can pick your substitutes. I just don't do that. I'm sure people do. If they don't have it, they're going to give you
your brand loyal.
Yes, I am brand
loyal. A lot
loyal.
Of people.
So if they don't have it, I don't want it.
Sure.
But sometimes they'll substitute it with something else. And if it happens more than once, I'm like, all right, fine. I'm just going to start buying this because it seems to be here. It's a little bit more available and it just makes my life easier. So I'm just going to go ahead and start picking it.
Yeah.
Same thing if you run into the store for something and it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to pick the next thing. Or again, maybe stop going to that store because they're not carrying what you want.
Right.
That store is now impacted and you go to another store and then that store no longer carries your product on the shelf because it has lost customers due to the fact that it's brand loyal customers who want something very specific.
Yeah.
They can't get it. So they're going to have it delivered through another service. Maybe they go to Walmart Plus or Amazon instead of the original grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can cause a lot of problems. And it's something that seems so small, but then over time, it really causes a lot of issues.
Yeah.
And you'll see it when those just-in-time orders aren't coming through as much. And then all of a sudden, when your cadence tracking, you're noticing your orders are going further and further apart. The minimums aren't being filled. And if you make any more mistakes, it slowly starts to just kind of disappear.
Yeah.
And I think you really need to be able to track that and watch it. And it can be something as simple as filling a just-in-time order with a tier 2 LTL carrier instead of a tier 1 LTL carrier, meaning they only drop once a week, meaning
right.
that the depot doesn't have to unload them immediately, meaning that your product is not making the MABD, not getting to the shelf, not getting to the store. And all of those little details, you shouldn't have to think about. You should have a partner who understands these things
yeah.
and can do it for you and provide the cost difference and the benefits, cons and pros list to be able to help you with that. You shouldn't have to do this all alone. That's what a team is for.
That's what Zipline Logistics is for.
Correct.
Shout out to us. Back to school shopping. That's going to wrap it up. $35 billion in 2024. Check out the show notes for the information from our friends at Wunderkind. I don't think I'm saying that right, but it's fun to say. Use the logistics as a strategy, right? Partner with somebody who's got the experience. As always, we'd love to talk to you about it. 888-GO-ZIPLINE, www.ziplinelogistics.com. For our listeners, please leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks for joining us on another edition of the Zipline Logistics
Podcast.
We'll see you next time.